1450 KMAN.
And Kathy Dosnell, along with Justin Thomason, and he's clinical assistant professor of cardiology, College of Veterinary Medicine, Kansas State University, and we welcome him today. And I know actually national publicity about Zelda the ferret and a tiny little pacemaker that you put in her. And, you know, talk about that. You said you were kind of surprised by all the attention. I mean, it made the, even I think the talk show circuit just a little bit, but a lot of attention to Kansas State University as a result of that.
Exactly. Thanks for having me. And I think it's fitting and proper that you have the cardiology service representing the Veterinary Health Center, February being National Health Month. And we encourage people to remember the other family doctor, the veterinarian. So we encourage to have pets screened. But yeah, we had the opportunity to place a pacemaker in a four-year-old ferret named Zelda that presented to the Veterinary Health Center, actually came in through the exotic service and saw Dr. Carpenter and Dr. Escher, and had a condition where the heart rate was too slow. So, and that's common as patients get more geriatric. They'll get some changes in their heart that their electrical function that controls the electricity of the heart, their heart rate gets too slow, and it's just a degenerative process that's age-related. And Zelda had that condition where the heart rate was just too low. And because of that slow heart rate, she was having little episodes of weakness. It's interesting. The owner was actually, I believe he's from the Philadelphia area and had moved to Kansas City. And while traveling over the holidays, he had seen a veterinarian because the Zelda wasn't acting quite right. And it actually, seeing the doctor that he saw, the doctor was actually a person from Kansas State, did their training under anesthesia at Kansas State, and had referred him, told him when he gets back to Kansas City to see the Veterinary Health Center to have us examine Zelda.
Very good. Again, 537-1350. If folks have questions or comments, toll free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And it really is kind of rare to do a ferret. I mean, it isn't unheard of, though. I mean, it wasn't like this was the first time it's ever been done or anything like that.
Exactly. But you know, there's other, you know, pacemakers for veterinary medicine, more common now than what it used to be. I think it's, I'm going to say, a fairly routine surgery. More common in dogs, and again, it's usually dogs, cats, animals that tend to be older, and they get this degenerative change that's just age-related that makes that heart rate too slow. More common in dogs that we see it because they tend to be more symptomatic. They tend to have weakness or fainting associated with that low heart rate they get. Some of the other animals, cats, we do pacemakers, but cats and ferrets, which we don't do a lot of ferrets, but cats and ferrets, even though they can develop this degenerative change as they get older, usually their heart rates are such that they don't require pacemakers. Their heart rates are slower than normal, but it's fast enough where they don't have symptoms. So rarely do we have to put pacemakers in cats or obviously ferrets as well. So their heart rates are generally a lot faster than dogs. But I think if you looked across the nation now, I think we probably, most cardiologists across the country, we probably implant across the United States, I'd say probably 500 a year pacemakers. So it's beginning to, it's more common than I think a lot of people realize, and not a technically challenged. I think we're pretty good at the procedure now that we can give patients a good quality of life with pacemakers.
Some misconceptions out there, and you were explaining to me before we went on the air, a lot of these are actually donated, these pacemakers are, and they're usually ones with shorter battery life, so it's not like you're taking it from a human patient kind of thing. But I mean, you might kind of clarify that.
Most of the pacemakers that we receive, they're donated from medical device companies where they're deemed unfit for human use. So, and most of the time it's because of the battery life is just too low that it won't last long enough for a person. So they're donated to a registry, and then we're able to acquire pacemakers from that registry and use them in dogs, cats, ferrets, and horses, or any other species that requires it.
You mentioned symptoms, and what is something a pet owner might look for in their animal?
Yeah, I think most symptoms that we see, again, it's the patients that would require a pacemaker, usually their heart rates are inappropriately too slow. And so symptoms they'd look for would be fainting. So oftentimes they can faint. That's the most common. Other symptoms may be exercise intolerance, where they just fatigue a little sooner than normal, or just real lethargic at rest, where they don't feel well. With that heart rate being so slow, they just don't get enough perfusion to the organs, so they're often lethargic because of that. And again, I think good annual physical exams, general wellness exams with veterinarians. There's certain breeds that are predisposed to some of these conditions. Obviously, we've talked about any patient that gets geriatric can have these conditions, but there's certain breeds, Cocker Spaniels, Miniature Schnauzers, they have a genetic, they have a what we call sick sinus syndrome, where it's a genetic condition where their heart rates can get too slow, and that's genetic. So more common in Miniature Schnauzers and Cocker Spaniels. So getting those animals screened yearly with a veterinarian, oftentimes they can pick up those changes on physical exam.
Well, and we do have a phone call. You'll need a set of headphones there. Oh. And Justin, if you want to go ahead and put those on, welcome to In Focus. And your question or comment for Justin Thomason with College of Veterinary Medicine, Kansas State. Go ahead.
Good morning. My brother's a DVM in Carmel, California, and I emailed him about this, and he said he saw the information in the AVMA newsletter, so you're nationwide.
Yeah, thank you for that. And
you had mentioned, Justin, that there were some talk shows. You said BBC picked it up, I think, even. And, you know, it's interesting, some of the different outlets that picked it up. I mean, it's not unheard of. It is, I'm sure, very intricate when you're talking about a tiny little ferret. There is a process to it.
No, and there's obviously me being the cardiologist, but there's a team of doctors, specialists that did a lot of work with this. Our exotic service with Dr. Carpenter and Dr. Escher, Dr. Wright. We had our soft tissue surgeon, Dr. Emily Clocky, was very important. Anesthesia service is very important. But most patients there's two ways to place these pacemakers. One way is what we call minimally invasive, where we go through the jugular vein and we implant the pacemaker, the pacemaker lead wire that controls the heart rate actually gets implanted on the inside of the heart. So that's what we call an endocardial pacemaker, because it's on the endocardial surface of the heart muscle. Ferrets, cats being so small, their jugular veins are so small that we're not able to use those pacemaker leads for the endocardial through the jugular. So for those, we have to go on the outside of the heart to implant the lead wire, and that's what we call an epicardial. And we have a surgeon, our surgeon, Dr. Clocky, she actually has to go through the abdomen and go across the diaphragm and implant the lead wires directly on the heart, and it gets sutured on those lead wires. So
how big is the heart? How big is a ferret heart?
It's going to be really small. So if you see the pictures on the website or on our K-State website, you'll see that the lead wires themselves, I mean, for her to implant those on there, it looks easy, but I mean, she's got to be very delicate work in order to get those lead wires positioned properly without causing damage, of course. So she did a wonderful job, and the pacemaker itself, the generator that has the computerized material, it was actually, usually we put those beneath the skin, underneath the skin, and then the wire plugs into that controls the heart rate. For the ferret, we had to leave that generator inside the abdomen because it's so small. There's just not enough space beneath the skin of a ferret to implant that generator. So it was sutured and left in the abdomen, but Dr. Clocky, she did a wonderful job, and the other team members as well did an excellent job.
You have another call. You're popular today. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for all your veterinary service. What do you think about this nutrition in the animals? The corn and grain being the first item in the dog food and all that you read the package.
That's kind of I'm guessing that's out of your area of expertise since he is a cardiologist, but.
Yeah, I would encourage people that have nutrition because the nutrition, I mean, all the veterinary science is changing so quickly that I would encourage people to reach out to your veterinarians or nutritionists. There's actually veterinary nutritionists that can help guide people because certainly, like people, there's animals that are sensitive to certain ingredients of that are in our dog food. So we have special diets that are available for patients that are sensitive to certain nutritional supplements that are in diets. So I would encourage people to reach out and explore that with your veterinarian or veterinary nutritionist even that can help guide you.
Justin, it's been fascinating. Anything else you want to add today and keep up the good work? I mean, as you say, you do how many of these a year? Anything else you're wanting to add?
No, I think at the Veterinary Health Center, we do 2 to 3 a year. And again, I would just encourage people being that this is National Heart Month, that they have their pets screened by their veterinarians. Usually that's going to involve auscultation, listening to the heart. They can do an EKG to look at their heart rate and rhythm. And then for patients that are 8 years or older, getting their blood pressure screened because that's the age where we start seeing conditions that predispose patients to systemic hypertension.
In fact, you said you just had another pacemaker for a dog last week.
We did the ferret, and then about a week or 2 weeks later, we had a dog that required a pacemaker, and it went well. We rechecked Zelda last week, the ferret. She's doing wonderful. Owner's very happy. She's got a good quality of life. We rechecked the pacemaker. It's working great. And we kind of reprogrammed it. The pacemakers are modern pacemakers because obviously they're for people, but they have features where we can control their baseline heart rate, but they also have accelerometers in them. So when the patient moves, this accelerometer gets activated and it'll gradually increase the heart rate so that mimic normal physiologic effects. So if the animal's active, the heart rate will gradually increase to a level that will maintain perfusion to the muscles. And then as they're resting, it'll gradually slow back to that resting rate that we have programmed. So we have it programmed and she's doing well.
Okay. Pleasure to have you here
today.
Thanks
for having me.
Justin Thomason with us today, Clinical Assistant Professor of Cardiology, College of Veterinary Medicine, Kansas State University. When we come back, Executive Director of Shepherd's Crossing, Beverly Olson, will be joining us.